This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Are you ready?
Yeah.
Okay, let's do it.
Bill Martinez Live, a program about current events, our culture, our values, our politics, and our future. And now, Bill Martinez.
We better stop, hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going on. Stop, hey.
Be alienated and pushed away as some of Donald's rhetoric, unfortunately, has led to.
Mr.
Well, I'd have to respond.
Please respond.
The secretary said very strongly about working with. We've been working with them for many years. And we have the greatest mess anyone's ever seen. You look at the Middle East, it's a total mess. Under your direction to a large extent. But you look at the Middle East. You started the Iran deal. That's another beauty where you have a country that was ready to fall. I mean, they were doing so badly. They were choking on the sanctions. And now they're going to be actually probably a major power at some point pretty soon the way they're going. But when you look at NATO, I was asked on a major show, what do you think of NATO? And I have to understand, I'm a business person. I did really well, but I have common sense. And I said, well, I'll tell you, I haven't given lots of thought to NATO, but two things. Number one, the 28 countries of NATO, many of them aren't paying their fair share. Number two, and that bothers me because we should be, yes, we're defending them and they should at least be paying us what they're supposed to be paying by treaty and contract. And number two, I said, and very strongly, NATO could be obsolete because, and I was very strong on this, and it was actually covered very accurately in the New York Times, which is unusual for the New York Times, to be honest. But I said, they do not focus on terror. And I was very strong, and I said it numerous times, and about 4 months ago, I read on the front page of the Wall Street Journal that NATO is opening up a major terror division, and I think that's great. And I think we should get, because we pay approximately 73% of the cost of NATO, it's a lot of money to protect other people, but I'm all for NATO. But I said they have to focus on terror also. And they're going to do that. And that was, believe me, I'm sure I'm not going to get credit for it, but that was largely because of what I was saying and my criticism of NATO. I think we have to get NATO to go into the Middle East with us in addition to surrounding nations, and we have to knock the hell out of ISIS, and we have to do it fast. When ISIS formed, in this vacuum created by Barack Obama and Secretary Clinton, and believe me, you were the ones that took out the troops. Not only that, you named the day. They couldn't believe it. They sat back probably and said,
well,
I can't believe it. They said, no, wait a minute.
We've covered
when they
ground.
When they formed, this is something that never should have happened. It should have never happened. Now, you're talking about taking out ISIS, but you were there and you were Secretary of State when it was a little infant. Now it's in over 30 countries. And you're going to stop them? I don't think so.
Mr. Trump, a lot of these are judgment questions.
But it's right there. I mean, it's on her website, isn't it, Scott? I mean, how she's going to do this?
That led to a fun exchange too.
It really did. And plus,
you told him your whole plan. What is?
Yeah. I mean, you know, it's but it's typical. I think what Trump again is revealing here is the lack of leadership with NATO. I mean, this is something that should have been done a long time ago. I mean, how long has ISIS been around? And a couple months ago, they said, oh, now we're going to put somebody in charge of dealing with ISIS. I mean, come on. You know, it's bad enough that the wheels of government and the bureaucracy move so slow anyway. But here it is, you have an international community, and they can't seem to get their act together. I mean, we got people dying there in the Middle East, people getting their heads lopped off, and the abuses that continue, and all while NATO is sleeping here. I mean, this really speaks of a lack of leadership. And, you know, I know this went on for a while, and Trump needs to be a little bit more, you know, pinpointed in his statements and letting that, you know, letting that stick on Hillary, giving it a shot. But he kind of, you know, keeps hammering it and overhammering it and overhammering it. And you go, Donald, the nail is already in the wood. You know, you don't need to keep repeating and hitting it over. I mean, in my opinion, and maybe some people this makes sense, but to me it's like, you know, hit it, let it go, let it let her feel the, you know, the reality and the attachment, and let everybody else chew on the attachment of her choices and her decisions as Secretary of State. Well, we've got more coming up. Stay with us, America.
Are you tired of commuting to a job that makes someone else rich, working harder than ever, but getting nowhere? Do you hate spending hundreds of dollars every week on daycare, having someone else raise your children? With our opportunities, you can start earning money as soon as next week. You get to be the boss, work from home, and live a happier life. At Be the Boss Network, you'll find hundreds of work-from-home opportunities that you can literally start today and be earning money as soon as next week. Go to freedom106.com and start earning money as soon as next week. You get to be the boss. Get out of the rat race. Work from home. Go to freedom106.com right now and change your life today. That's freedom, the number 106.com. Go to freedom106.com and start earning money as soon as next week. You be the boss. Go to freedom106.com.
America back on track. Bill Martinez live.
Hey, if it's going to happen, it's going to be up to me and you. It's the man, the woman in the mirror. Don't be pointing fingers because we got three coming back at us. This is a government of, for, and by we the people, which means that it's our right and our responsibility. You can't separate right from responsibility. I know some want rights, but they don't want the responsibility. This isn't the way it works. Experience has shown us time and time again. The empirical evidence is sound and clear that those two go woof and warf. Hand in glove together, and this is part of the challenge that we have in America. People want to defer their responsibility. They love the rights, but they don't want to pay the price. And this is, you know, what we've got to look forward to in this country. And I say the difference from where we are today and where we need to be in relationships to rights and responsibility is, you know, some pain that we're going to have to realize because we've been rather spoiled. And if we're going to get our, you know, ourselves out of this buried debt that we're in and this confusion, then we're going to have to do some hard work, ladies and gentlemen. And one of the topics that we're dealing with right now is this war on police, how the Ferguson effect is making America unsafe. So what do we do to make America safe again? Well, Jeff Rorta is with us, and it's always good to have Jeff back with us. Jeff is a retired police officer, a four-term Missouri state representative, currently works as the business manager for the St. Louis Police Officers Association, the union that represents police in St. Louis, Missouri. Jeff, welcome back to Bill Martinez Live. How are you?
Glad to be back, Bill.
Hey, Jeff, last night's debate, relevant to, you know, what we're dealing with here at the local level with, you know, with police and the attack on police, you know, did much satisfy you with the debate last night?
Well, you know, I think that law and order has almost become a wedge issue, Bill. And as you know, I served for 8 years as a Democrat in the Missouri House, although a very conservative record, 100% pro-life, 100% pro-gun, and it you know, sickens me to my core to see my party be on the wrong side of this wedge issue, which is much of their own creation, and it really just misses the mark by 100 miles.
Well, and this is why we need your voice, Jeff, because we need to bring people back, and I say back to an area that is consistent with, I believe, much of America right now as it relates to gun rights and, you know, the important issues of life. I mean, some of these stem from, you know, I believe, a broken moral and ethical perspective.
Yeah, there's no doubt that the moral decay that we've seen this country over the last half a century is very much to blame for where we are today and why people in the inner city think it's okay to kill each other in record numbers and turn violence against law enforcement when they try to disrupt that that crime.
Jeff, is it, you know, I don't know if it's just too simple or not, but I would think that, you know, if you are coming out of a car and you got a gun in your hand and a police officer tells you to drop the gun and you don't drop the gun, are you asking for the bad result here? Or maybe, I mean, it just seems so reasonable. Are we so unhinged that we're no longer reasonable? And then on top of that, we want to blame somebody else for not being reasonable?
Well, I mean, clearly we've become a society of blame and, you know, an absence of personal responsibility. But, I mean, you know, you look at all of these highly publicized police suspect encounters that have ended badly, mm-hmm. and they all have one common thread, and that is noncompliance by the person who ended up dying at the hands of police. And, you know, whether it's something as simple as not showing your hands and the officer perceiving a threat that you're making a furtive movement to retrieve a firearm, or, you know, trying to disarm an officer and use his gun against him, or bringing your own gun to the gunfight and not realizing that that police officers are better trained and have more of a combat mind, and they're going to win these encounters most of the time. And, you know, while the fact that somebody lost their life is tragic, not nearly as tragic as a police officer losing their life.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, at the root, and this is what I'm concerned about, is that, you know, what is bringing this up? You know, we talk about social injustice. We talk about incarcerations. Hillary Clinton, again, brought that up last night. Amazing that she's been around and has been in the sphere of influence for a number of years, and suddenly this is a topic of discussion, and it just seems to come up only when it's time to vote because she wants to pander to a demographic. And some believer, and for some reason they have short-term memories and forget that, you know, she was in a position to do something about this before, and now, you know, she wants to be, you know, the champion of this situation. But, you know, I think that's all surface issues. I think, you know, there's something deeper to this that needs to be considered, that somehow these young, particularly, you know, men of color, believe that they need to challenge the law, disrespect authority. And it's just a bad prescription. I mean, time and again, we're seeing this happening, and you go, okay, well, what can we get to the root of this situation? Because what I feel like we're dealing with here, Jeff, is something more on the surface as opposed to this, you know, if you might say, you know, perception that people of color have in this country, that they're unfairly treated by, you know, by authorities.
Well, it's really so many different factors coming together. And, you know, while economic segregation is a very real thing in this country, what's not clear is how much of it is a social device and how much of it is self-selected.
Mm,
you know,
exactly.
we got this generational trap for people of color who are born into poverty and, you know, have to, you know, to get out of that situation, have to make all the right decisions, you know, more right decisions than I had to make to get to where I am. But still, we haven't set them up for success. You know, I said in the book, I mean, there's nothing in America that anybody should get for free except opportunity, abundant opportunity. And, you know, that's where we as society can do better. We can improve our schools, improve other social institutions, and make these neighborhoods safer by putting more cops, not less, in these neighborhoods. You know, this call for less police only sharpens the decline of these inner city neighborhoods.
It's never empirically proven to be successful. In fact, it's been the exact opposite, and this is why you now have a call in this country for law and order. I mean, let's, you know, and by that, it's not the heavy hand of the law. It's just, why don't we enforce the laws that are there? Those laws that are consistent with our Constitution, that gives us an immutable right for life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. What a novel concept. Jeff Rorta is with us. We've got more from Jeff after the break. Stay with us, America, just about 15 minutes after the top of the hour. This is Bill Martinez.
Thousands of Americans are losing weight and feeling better with the 10-2 and a Chew weight loss system from ILikeTheWayILook.com. Here is U.S. Army Sergeant Dave Myers.
Since I started taking the Nufina, I have lost over 12 pounds. I have a long military career, and it has caused some issues with my knees and my ankles over the years, and I have become accustomed to just being in pain with one of those areas. I can only attribute the way I feel to the Nufina because that's the only thing that's changed in my diet, and I am absolutely pain-free in knees and ankles, and it just feels great to be able to get out and run around and move pain-free again.
The Nufina Collagen Protein Shake is part of the 10-2 and a Chew weight loss system from ILikeTheWayILook.com. Collagen feeds the joints, hair, and skin. It could help you lose weight, feel better, and look younger. Watch the video on ILikeTheWayILook.com and get the full story. They even offer free samples. Go to ILikeTheWayILook.com. ILikeTheWayILook.com.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. Investment Rarities, a 43-year-old company, has created the best silver offer ever. Get a U.S. Silver Eagle, Canadian Maple Leaf, Austrian Philharmonic, OPM Pierre Bar, and Silver Round. Have all five for $99 postpaid. You heard me right, 5 ounces of silver below cost. No credit card fees, free shipping. Just $99 and you'll have a great start on what it takes to survive even the worst economic storm. Act now and receive Jim Cook's exclusive paper explaining how it's possible to make a fortune in silver today. Don't miss this opportunity. Call 800-328-1860. Read how the above-ground supply of silver has dropped below even gold. The secret is being suppressed. The price could explode at any time. Call today at 800-328-1860. Get 5 ounces of silver for only $99. Find them on the web at investmentrarities.com or call 800-328-1860. Call now before it's too late. 800-328-1860.
Hunters, anglers, campers, and survivalists, get back to nature. Expand your horizons with the highest quality, most versatile, unique slingshots and sling bows on the market at slingbow.com. Slingbow products are compact and models start from just $17.98. They're perfect for your bug out bag or storing in your vehicle. Give yourself and your loved ones the excitement and tradition of slingbow, a new frontier in archery and truly modern twist on this primitive survival tool. Feel the thrill only at slingbow.com.
Will the government protect your family from Iran and North Korea's newest weapon, EMP? We buy guns to protect ourselves, home, health, and car insurance for accidents. Maybe you also have food storage. But how would you keep your refrigerator running in a long-term EMP blackout? Using tested military designs, the Solark EMP-hardened solar generator protects and powers your critical appliances for years without burying items underground or wrapping them in aluminum foil. Unlike other preps, Solark is used every day to help offset your electric bill automatically. Visit PortableSolarLLC.com to learn how easily expandable the system is. Solark is the most affordable and powerful solution on the market. The whole system even fits in the back of a pickup or SUV and can install in less than an hour. See for yourself why Solark beats other off-grid systems at PortableSolarLLC.com. Don't wait for the government. Go to PortableSolarLLC.com to learn why Solark is energy insurance for your family.
Piedmont Attorney Spokesperson Adam Pulaski of the Pulaski Law Firm with Principal Office in Houston, Texas is the attorney responsible for the content of this ad. This ad is not legal advice and the choice of a lawyer should not be based solely upon advertisement. Services may not be available in all states.
Attention Xarelto users. If you or a loved one took Xarelto and suffered a serious bleeding event, you may be entitled to financial compensation. Xarelto is a popular prescription blood thinner used to prevent blood clots and protect patients from strokes. These serious bleeding events have led to numerous cases of hospitalization and even death. Phone lines are open 24/7. Call 800-261-0937. That's 800-261-0937.
You've reached Bill Martinez Live. Bill Live.
Hey, Just the Way You Like Me, fresh every day, 3 hours coming your way from 9 to noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific. I am Bill Martinez, and we're happy to have you along, as well as Jeff Rorta, author of the book, The War on Police, How the Ferguson Effect is Making America Unsafe. Jeff, let's talk a little bit about the book. Some would call it a shameless plug, but people are saying, hey, look it, I want to get my hands on it. How do they do that?
Well, it's on Amazon, on pre-order. It'll be in stores and available for download on Kindle and order on Amazon on November 10th is the release date.
Well, as your book states, Ferguson really punctured a hole in the balloon that was just about ready to explode here. There were so many layers of emotions wrapped into this. I mean, to such a degree that people were willing to accept a false narrative just so they could have some sort of rallying cry. I mean, a false narrative that carries to this day, and though people would argue, saying, look, you're using a false, it doesn't matter. The perception is there for them, they're still holding with hands up, don't shoot. This is their rallying cry, and the fact that it doesn't it doesn't hold any truth is irrelevant.
Right. You know, we were kind of on a crash course for what happened in Ferguson in the wake of Trayvon Martin and Rodney King and other high-profile incidents. The intention, I think, was the next time this happens and law enforcement's involved, it's our opportunity to make our point, to sort of wage this proxy war against our own government and make this list of insatiable, unreasonable demands that have come out of Ferguson, Baltimore, and now Tulsa and Charlotte.
Yep, exactly. Were you surprised the mainstream media was complicit in this? I mean, they just seem to be steering this stuff up, I don't know, to sell papers, to, to lay down a lot of ink here, but I mean, they really got behind this, and they pushed this false narrative, but, there's very little light on their responsibility.
Yeah, I do hit them pretty hard in my book, and I do, I've gotten to know some of these nationally known anchors personally, and, you can read the regret in their faces when you talk to them because they miss this story by such a long shot, but I will say that I appreciate the networks that gave me an opportunity to tell the police side of the story, and the ones that cared enough about a skosh of balance to have me on and give the police perspective. But it was never, the deck was always stacked against me. It was me against two or three Black Lives Matter sycophants that that played pile on. Although I think I still made my points in a very forceful way.
Now, you had an opportunity to interview Officer Darren Wilson, who my heart goes out for. I mean, this guy, he wanted to be a police officer. And
right, more than anything.
We need guys like him. And the system and this particular incident just turned his world upside down. I mean, he was just married, right?
Yeah, he married another Ferguson police officer. She was pregnant with their child as at the time of the shooting in Ferguson, and they both ended their police careers by necessity. And you just said his world was turned upside down. That's exactly what I tell people when they ask me about him. His world was turned upside down, and he learned how to walk on the ceiling. He's an incredibly resilient young man.
Yeah. Well, my heart's out for him and remains out. I mean, anybody that goes through this kind of situation, I mean, and this is, I think, what people do not understand. I mean, they think that police are just out there, hardened as ever, prejudiced against the community. And, that's not the police that I know. And in many communities and in my travels, the police that I know are there truly to serve. They want to protect and serve their local communities. They're not a bunch of hardened people. Are they influenced by running into this negativity? And sometimes they're bathed in, the drugs and the poor side of behavior of our humanity that's represented. I mean, I'm sure at times, you know, you were a police officer, you get drenched in all this negativity. It's like you just want to go home and take a bath. But I don't sense that they purposely wake up in the morning and say, hey, I'm just going to go out and kill a bunch of people. You know, of all the shootings, when you think about it, and the number of police, I mean, how many active shootings actually take place with a police officer against a civilian that involves a gun or doesn't? I mean, it's really very, very small by comparison. But if you bought into the media's narrative, you would think that, you know, police are just, you know, they just can't wait for the, you know, to hear the cock to crow, start another day, load them up and get ready and go shoot some people.
Yeah, you know, Darren's sort of the perfect poster boy for all of what you just described, and for the goodness of police officers. And I think you really get a good feel for what was going through Darren's mind and what he is as a man through the interview, which is very intimate and, you know, one of only three interviews he's granted, but the one that really looks behind the curtain and sort of humanizes him and really, you know, in a de facto way, sort of humanizes all law enforcement, you know, because he's become the face of these unfortunate shooting incidents. And, you know, he's not much different than any of the officers that were involved in these. And I think the readers will really enjoy getting to know Darren better.
What did he say when Michael Brown, what was his impression when Michael Brown reached in to the car? Again, to me, I mean, this is such a violation against authority that somebody would, you know, actually reach into a police officer's car, grab his gun, fire a round. I gotta think, Officer Darren Wilson at that point, first of all, is probably watching his life go before him as a round. You know, like any police officer, any round that goes off randomly out of the barrel of the gun is not good, because that can end up in all kinds of places and oftentimes in the worst of places.
Right. And, you know, it's a crazy situation. Darren was not only stunned by the aggressiveness of Michael Brown, the same sort of aggressiveness he showed against that poor store owner. Also, yeah, dazed by the physical assault. You know, he said when Michael Brown hit him, you know, he's such a big kid, he said he'd never been hit that hard in his life, that it was dizzying, and, you know, he was, you know, it was a fight for his life, and that is, you know, part of what's being lost to history in this retelling of the story through this false narrative.
And this is what's so important, Jeff, and I appreciate, and I'm glad you brought this up, and that is the documentation of history. How it's been rewritten by the mainstream media, because they're not about to take responsibility and say, hey, maybe we got it wrong here. Maybe we jumped to conclusions because they're afraid of the Black Lives Matter group, or, you know, that's the object du jour right now. It's selling newspapers or whatever, so they think it's making a name for them. But are we solving any problems? I mean, your heart, Jeff, and your life of service, you know, to your community and to your state has been one to solve problems, not exacerbate them. And here it is. We've been dealing with, you know, these social issues, it seems, forever. We've had, you know, some good people come along the way, including Martin Luther King, that wanted to take us above and truly resolve this issue. But again, as is always the case, you have those race baiters, you have those others that say, nope, we're going to make you pay.
Right. And, you know, the first half of the book is about telling the story of what really happened in Ferguson. The second is about where we go from here and how we can turn this into a positive. But, you know, sort of the main thread in one of the chapter titles is Casualty of History. And that's what Darren is, and that's what the truth is. They're casualties of history, and the main purpose for writing the book is setting the truth back on its axis.
Well, Jeff Rorta, retired police officer, four-term Missouri State Representative, The War on Police, a must-read. I mean, this will give you some added insight. It'll help, you know, tie down some things that are missing from the historical record, no doubt. Jeff Rorta, thank you so much for being with us. This is Bill Martinez. It's 29 minutes after the top of the hour right now.
It only takes 7 seconds to make a good first impression, or a bad one for that matter. What if it only took 7 seconds to get to work in the morning? Think about it. 7 seconds from the bedroom to the workroom. The 7 second Walk is a turnkey home business system. We are looking for individuals who would like to earn from $500 to $5,000 a month, working from home with their own home-based business. All you need is a computer, internet access, and a telephone. You choose your own hours, and you can work in your PJs if you want. What most people like best about the 7 second Walk is our national advertising campaign that can have customers calling you. We will teach you everything you need to know to be successful. So, if you could use some extra money and would like to be your own boss, go to 7secondnow.com and request your free info pack. I'll bet you could get used to a 7 second commute. Go to 7secondnow.com. That's 7secondnow.com. Think about it. 7 seconds from the bedroom to the workroom. Go to 7secondnow.com. That's 7secondnow.com.
Have you ever thought you'd like to flip houses but didn't know how or where to get the money? Are you ready to be your own boss so you can start living the good life? Hi, I'm Preston Neely. I used to be so broke. I had my electricity turned off 9 times, but I figured out a way to quit my job and find financial freedom in real estate. For a limited time, I want to send you a free copy of my smash hit selling book, How to Get Rich in Real Estate. It shows you how to copy exactly what I did so you can make money from the comfort of your own home without even doing any manual labor. I've already given away 5,000 books and they're going fast. To get one before they're gone, call 1-800-958-9256. Listen, if you're sick and tired of stressing about money, this book could change your life. It's short, fun to read, easy to understand, and awesome. To find out how to get your free book while supplies last, call 1-800-958-9256. Call 1-800-958-9256. 1-800-958-9256.
Are you happy washing your hands with harsh chemicals? Are you happy doing laundry with detergents? Are you happy paying high prices? Find your happiness with Pure Soap. These all-natural, earth-friendly Pure Soaps are the very best you've ever used. Buy in bulk. Get a 12, 36, or 48-month supply. Or get items individually and still save big. You're getting soap products twice as good as what you're using now. Earth-friendly and natural soaps. Your family deserves the best. Happiness is 5starsoap.com. Why not put your money up the drain for a change? See them at 5starsoap.com or call 1-800-340-7091 for a catalog. Cal Bend Soap Company can save you thousands of dollars and give you good old-fashioned real soaps that are triple concentrated. Soaps made from vegetable and coconut oils. See their full selection of soaps at 5starsoap.com. That's FIVESTARSOAP.com. Or call 1-800-340-7091 for a catalog.
Know what you believe and why. Bill Martinez, live.
They come to America. They come to America. They come to America. They come to America today. Today.
Your program.
It's all about you. Why not? This is Bill Martinez coming to you fresh every day, Monday through Friday, 3 hours, 9 to noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific. Good to have you along with us. Just about 28 minutes before the top of the hour right now. Scott, I'm sorry. I missed your... we do have him. Excellent. Okay, great. We were just waiting for our next guest here, and definitely have been looking forward to talking with Alberto Gonzalez, who served as the White House counsel, U.S. Attorney General in the George W. Bush administration. He is the dean and Doyle Rogers Distinguished Professor of Law at Belmont University College of Law in Nashville, Tennessee. A.G. Gonzalez was the 80th Attorney General of the United States from 2005 to 2007, former Texas Secretary of State and Justice on the Texas Supreme Court. He served in the White House as counsel to the President from 2001 to 2005. You may not realize that he was also an Air Force veteran, attended the U.S. Air Force Academy, graduated from Rice University and Harvard Law School. Attorney General Gonzalez, good to have you with us. How are you doing, sir?
Okay, well, that was quite an introduction.
Well, there's so much more to talk. I mean, here it is. I mean, for you, you know, former Attorney General of the U.S., former counsel of the President, the only lawyer and only Hispanic to hold both these positions, you know, quite an honor, you know, when you think about your place in history And, you know, what you have to share with us. And I've been looking forward to your book, True Faith and Allegiance.
Well, you're right. I've been very privileged in my life. I owe a lot of that, of course, to my parents and to George W. Bush, who gave me several once-in-a-lifetime opportunities. And I have chronicled my life and my service in my new book, True Faith and Allegiance, which came out last week. So I hope I hope your listeners give it a look.
Well, more than a look, I believe, hey, you need to pick it up and really be encouraged here, because, you know, you look back at your background as you write, you know, you were born to a poor but proud working class family of all places in Humble, Texas, I guess, appropriately named, you know, seven kids in the family and in a two bedroom house. And it was kind of a typical post-World War II Hispanic family. Gosh, I remember there were six of us in a two bedroom home. And one bathroom that was outside.
Well, our bathroom was inside, but I do remember going to my grandparents' house and going to the bathroom that was outside. So, yeah, we were poor. But despite that, you know, you don't know you're poor when you're a child. And I certainly didn't. And I learned a lot of valuable lessons and values of self-responsibility, the value of education. And, of course, faith was very important in our family. And I really give a great deal of credit to my mom and my father for the way that they raised us. And it put me on the right path, quite frankly. It led to a lot of great things that have happened later on in my life.
Well, I got to tell you, in our home, as long as we had tortillas, we didn't know about poverty, you know. That's the way we rolled, you know.
I tell this story about when we had a daily ritual at my house when I was very young. Well, I always wanted to be up and have breakfast with my dad. Yeah. And my mom always made the same thing for breakfast. Eggs and tortillas, and always the same thing for lunch for my dad, beans and tortillas. I mean, yes, that was just our daily thing.
Right.
Yep.
Well, I know my mother, just another side story, again, to, you know, kind of put this in context a little bit here, you know, with a Hispanic upbringing, is I remember when my dad started making enough money, he was, you know, came out of World War II, was in the European theater, and was a medic, and then, you know, here he is raising a family. And my mother was so proud when she got to the point where we didn't have to rely so much on tortillas. And I remember one time telling her, I go, Mom, what happened to all the tortillas? You know, we love it. She goes, well, your dad's making enough money. I go, well, no, hey, I mean, you know, we want tortillas. And she looked at my dad, and my dad said, hey, bring on the tortillas. Let's go.
It's hard to find a grocery store. One of the things I lament about being in Nashville, and believe me, there's so many things I love about being here. It's just a great town. We've been so happy. We've been here 5 years,
right,
and so happy. But it's been a little bit of a challenge to find the same kind of good Mexican food and good tortillas that we had readily available in Texas, of course.
Yes, exactly. Well, here you are with George W. Bush. We're going to fast forward here. Talk about 9/11, which we just celebrated the 15th year. And you have a president who comes in thinking he's going to deal with social issues. You know, we're going to take on welfare. We're going to take on education. And suddenly, with three planes crashing and doing the devastation and the horror that they brought upon the people, he became a wartime president just like that.
Absolutely. And you forgot to mention immigration. That was another thing we were going to tackle, which is important Hispanic community. But and you know, what is great about this story is that he knew immediately we were at war. Someone might otherwise view it as sort of a criminal matter and say, you know, we're going to gather evidence and we're going to use our police to prosecute people. But he knew immediately that we were going to pull all levers of federal power to respond. We were going to use our military. We're going to use our law enforcement. We're going to use our intelligence. We're going to go after their money. You know, he was ready to go. He knew immediately what he had to do. And all of us, we took our cues from the leader of his organization, the federal government. And that's true in any organization, particularly in a time of crisis. You know, you look to the leader and immediately he knew he had a job to do to protect America. And we just simply followed his lead.
You know, post Bush, so much has been, you know, maligned about this president, has been defined by the progressives, by the left. And I knew this was going to happen, is that on the other side of his presidency, that the truth was going to come out and there would be a sobering perspective. Others in the administration have offered their perspective, and True Faith and Allegiance is your opportunity to, you know, right the record a bit.
Well, and I don't shy away from talking about all the controversial issues. I talk about Guantanamo. I talk about military commissions. I talk about the application of Geneva conventions. I talk about enhanced interrogation techniques. I talk about electronic surveillance. And I do so to try to give people a better perspective of why these things were necessary and why and how they were effective. And maybe I might change the minds, but even if I don't, I hope that readers will come away with the understanding about how hard we tried to get it right, often taking months to get to the right outcome. We worked very, very hard to get it right, to protect our country in a way that was lawful and effective.
Well, we were, you know, a bit scrambling here, you know, based on the information that we had, whether, you know, you want to talk about Iraq, you know, why did we go after Iraq? I mean, you still have people saying, you know, I was against it before I was for it. You know, you get the whole, you know, the whole breadth of perspective on this. Here's the opportunity to talk about, you know, why did we go to Iraq?
Well, you know, the challenge we have in sort of discussing Iraq is today we look at it with a 2016 mindset.
Exactly.
You know, right. We're tired of war. We've seen the mistakes that we've been made. And it's easy to say, gosh, that was a mistake. But if you put yourself in the mindset of 2002 or early 2003, you know, you still have the smoke coming out of the World Trade Center towers, which have fallen. We've just experienced 3,000 people killed in New York City and others killed at the Pentagon and, of course, in Pennsylvania. And so President Bush had that mindset where nothing like this is going to happen again. We're going to prevent another attack. And once we have information, intelligence, that Saddam Hussein has stockpiled the weapons of mass destruction and he's developing a relationship with al-Qaeda, we worked very hard to make sure, President Bush worked hard to make sure that nothing, another attack would not happen again. We gave Saddam Hussein ample opportunity to allow inspectors into Iraq to give up any weapons of mass destruction. And he simply refused, and so therefore President Bush felt compelled to take action. If there was a mistake here, a mistake within the intelligence, I can't speak for President Bush, but if we knew then what we know today, would we have gone in? Probably not. But again, the mistake was not in what we did. The mistake was in the intelligence.
Exactly. It's always that 20/20 hindsight perspective once again that needs to be part of the discussion. We're visiting with former Attorney General Alberto Gonzalez, his book, brand new.
Are the answers to your present and future hidden in your past? Akashic readings help you learn to unlock the answers for love, finances, weight loss, self-esteem, confusion, grief and loss, and more. Akashic email readings by Dr. Kelly Maroon, PhD, are specially priced right now. Learn more at Dr. Kelly Maroon's website, akashicuniversal.com, spelled akashicuniversal.com. Change your life today. Become one with your true path with intention on purpose. Visit akashicuniversal.com.
Thousands of Americans are losing weight and feeling better with the 10-2 and a chew weight loss system from ILikeTheWayILook.com. Here is U.S. Army Sergeant Dave Myers.
Since I started taking the Nuzena, I have lost over 12 pounds. I have a long military career, and it has caused some issues with my knees and my ankles over the years, and I have become accustomed to just being in pain with one of those areas. I can only attribute the way I feel to the Nuzena because that's the only thing that's changed in my diet, and I am absolutely pain-free in knees and ankles, and it just feels great to be able to get out and run around and move pain-free again.
The Nuzena Collagen Protein Shake is part of the 10-2 and a Chew weight loss system from ILikeTheWayILook.com. Collagen feeds the joints, hair, and skin. It could help you lose weight, feel better, and look younger. Watch the video on ILikeTheWayILook.com and get the full story. They even offer free samples. Go to ILikeTheWayILook.com. ILikeTheWayILook.com.
You know, we've all heard about the health benefits of fish oils, but what about the presence of heavy metals, PCBs, dioxins, furans, and other contaminants found in the fatty tissues of fish? Bill Martinez Live recognizes this risk and offers IFOS certified tested omega-3 fatty acids, EPA and DHA. Insist on IFOS omega-3 fatty acid certification. Get the best at BillMartinezLive.com, longevity, or call 855-305-8326.
Has neck, back, or shoulder pain got you down? Go to sunshine-pillows.com and get soothing comfort, support, and pain relief fast. Their microwavable heat therapy pillows and wraps treat neck and shoulder pain, reduce stress, and relax the soul. An ergonomic pillow from Sunshine Pillow supports your head and neck on long trips or when simply resting at home. Be good to yourself. Visit sunshine-pillows.com. Sunshine-pillows.com.
Dangerous blood clot device alert. If you or a loved one had an IVC filter placed to prevent blood clots from traveling to your heart or lungs and suffered an injury, you may be entitled to substantial financial compensation. The FDA warns that IVC filters may cause serious complications, such as heart or lung damage, internal bleeding, and even death. These dangerous blood clot devices can break, and the metal fragments can travel to your heart or lungs, causing serious injuries. If you or a loved one suffered organ damage or other injuries from an IVC filter, you may be entitled to substantial financial compensation. Act now. Time is limited to file a claim. For a free consultation and free information, call Injury Help Desk at 800-478-1507. 800-478-1507. 800-478-1507.
This is an advertisement. Paid non-attorney spokesperson. InjuryHelpDesk.com is responsible for this advertisement. Principal office, Las Vegas, Nevada.
How confident are you in your food storage? If it was all you had to rely on, would it sustain your family? Hard times, good times, or any time, New Mana Storable Food is the proven superior choice. Learn for yourself what happened when one man ate only New Mana Storable Food for an entire month. Online at PowerPrepper.com. That's PowerPrepper.com. Experience the New Mana difference.
America-made food stores are love to eat. Yum!
You're listening to Bill Martinez live. Your program, your calls, your opinions. Bill Martinez live.
Hey, it's all about you, America. Your opinion really does count here. If we're going to get this country back on track, all hands are required to get on deck. After all, this is a country of, for, and by we the people. 14 minutes before the top of the hour, we're visiting with Judge Alberto Gonzalez, right on the heels of the 15th anniversary of 9-1-1, his book, True Faith and Allegiance, basically a tell-all on his experience working for President Bush. In it, the judge goes in depth on how his faith and family kept him grounded. Attorney General Gonzalez, you know, you mentioned that a moment ago. I mean, for all that you went through, you know, I think back in, you know, history with other leaders and how they ended up, you know, going into their prayer closets and saying, God, help us.
Well, there's no question about it, you know, because at this level, whether it's a cabinet secretary or governor or certainly president, I mean, these are the most difficult decisions that you can make. I don't think you can serve effectively as president of the United States if you don't believe in God mm-hmm. and the power of prayer, because the decisions are so big. They're bigger than any one person. And for me, you know, I want to believe in a higher power that I'm doing the right thing when a life hangs in the balance. For a president, for example, whether it's sending men and women into combat or making a decision whether to commute someone on federal death row, you want to make, you know, you want to get it right. And so faith and belief in God, I think, is so very, very important, so very vital in the person who works in the Oval Office.
Well, and here you are as the, you know, the top attorney in the land as attorney general, and you have this dynamic tension between a literal interpretation of the Constitution versus this movement that has been growing over the years that, you know, as President Obama would say, you know, our Constitution is elastic. It's open for broader interpretation.
Well, you're right. There is a divide in this country in terms of how is the Constitution to be written, to be interpreted. The Constitution does not say who's to interpret it, does not say how it's to be interpreted. Now, because of a decision issued hundreds of years ago by the Supreme Court, we have relied upon the court to have the final say in the interpretation of the Constitution. But why have a written document to govern our lives if we're not going to follow the words in that document, as far as I'm concerned? I think the founders envisioned that we would have this document to guide us. And if we wanted to have change in that guidance, that change would be reflected in a democratic process of constitutional amendments. And over time, I think we've gotten away from that. We've relied more and more upon the courts to find new rights. And I think that's dangerous. While the rights of the courts have perhaps recently announced over the years, some of them I agree with, some not. Nonetheless, those rights should be, if they're going to be part of our sort of our soul, they should be rights that we all have a role in participating in and saying yes or no. This should be part of our governing document, and not relying upon non-unelected judges.
When there is seemingly activism that raises its head in the judiciary, I sense that it's got to be like chalk hitting the chalkboard and just, you know, gets to your nerves just a bit.
Well, yeah, it's more than that. I mean, it's dangerous. Mm-hmm. It really is dangerous because if, in fact, judges can be making pronouncements about our Constitution based upon how they see society evolving, their perception of society, societal norms and how they're changing, or their own personal values or moral, you know, moral compass, then you almost have to, in choosing that justice, talk to them about, you know, what are your beliefs? What are your morals? And I think that too is dangerous. And I, you know, when we worked in the White House in selecting two justices to the court, we never asked questions about, you know, how do you feel about abortion? How do you feel about the case of Roe v. Wade? What we asked about is, how do you see your job as a judge? How do you interpret the Constitution? What's the right way to interpret a statute passed by Congress? These are the kinds of questions we ask because we believe this will lead us to the answer that would guide us in deciding whether or not this is the right person to sit on the highest court of the land.
Exactly. Well, here we are since the passing of Judge Antonin Scalia. We're operating with 8 judges in the Supreme Court, not 9. What is your position on this?
Well, of course, I dedicate a chapter to the selection of Supreme Court justices and the whole process we went through in the selection of John Roberts and Sam Alito. This is probably one of the most important decisions that a president has to make, other than sending men and women into battle. And I am on record in saying that when the vacancy occurred, that a president has an obligation, once he has determined an appropriate candidate, to make a nomination. And so I had no problem with President Obama making the nomination. I can't speak for President Bush. I feel fairly confident in saying, if he was ready to go, he would have made a nomination, even though it was his last year in office. It's because that's his job, and these decisions are so important. As to confirmation, when I was White House counsel, President Bush nominated good people, and the Democrats blocked them, and it made me mad. They weren't doing their job. Mm-hmm. I got to be consistent. And
yes.
So President Obama has made his nomination. Republicans control the Senate. They should vote. I think they should give Judge Garland, when they're ready, when they've done their due diligence and their background checks and everything, I believe, to be fair, to be consistent, I believe that he's entitled to an up or down vote. They control. They have the votes in the Senate. If they don't want him to go on the court, they can knock him down.
Mm-hmm.
They can vote against his confirmation. But I know that's contrary to what a lot of Republicans want to hear, because even one vote on that court is so important. And I think they're hopeful that a Republican is going to win the White House, and then we'll put a Republican in that seat. I don't know if that's going to happen, but I have to be consistent with what I believe in, and I believe in equal treatment, equal and fair treatment.
Well, growing up in Texas, and of course being involved in state politics in Texas, and as we mentioned earlier, immigration a big issue. President Bush going in saying, "Look, we need to address immigration," and here it is; it's been kicked down the road, and 15 years later, we're still dealing with a broken immigration system. What do you have to say?
Well, I agree. It's embarrassing. We have some challenges in our immigration policy. It's not right that we have 11 to 15 minutes. We don't even know what
the number is. Exactly.
Exactly. But, yeah. You know, let's just assume it's 11 million people. the fact that they're here in some kind of unlawful status is not right. We are a nation of laws. On the other hand, we all have to concede we are a nation of immigrants, and we're also a compassionate nation. So we've got to accommodate these two principles. And I'm on record as saying, and I wrote a book about this, supporting comprehensive immigration reform that looks at border security. I'm not sure that I can say I support a wall. I'm not sure that that makes sense. I think it's going to cost a lot of money. But we do need more border security. We need tougher workplace enforcement. We need to revise our visa process. It's broken today. So now 50% of the people that are here unlawfully came here lawfully and now are here unlawfully on an expired visa. So we need to fix that. We do need the 11 million that are here. We need to figure out a system where the ones who are not, who are criminals, they go out, they have to be deported, they have to be rounded up and they have to go. Those others who are not a problem, that can provide for themselves, that are willing to pay a fine, maybe willing to pay back taxes, they can continue to be in this country in some kind of legal status, and they can be productive members and they contribute to various services and service industries in this country.
Right.
As to citizenship, I'm sort of agnostic about it. I think most people that come into this country unlawfully, they don't come here for citizenship. They come here for a better way of life. If we want to give them citizenship, they'll take it. But I think we can have a discussion about whether or not there should be a pathway to citizenship.
Yeah, if they want to add to the proposition, I don't think anybody's an argument in that. And in some cases, we have immigrants who are not citizen that joined our military, right?
Exactly. Those are very sympathetic situations where someone goes to college or someone serves in the military of honor. Yes, I mean, why not make it easier for them if they want to pursue citizenship to do it? Those are precisely the kind of people we would want as fellow citizens, a veteran. Yes, absolutely.
Well, Attorney General Gonzalez, I got to tell you, with President Bush, what I respected so much about him was that he didn't complain about, what was handed to him, what the Clinton administration handed to him. In fact, I've said repeatedly here that when we found ourselves at war after 9/11, people failed to realize how Bill Clinton was able to do so well with the budget, and that was because he blighted the military. And then they wanted to blame the president, President Bush, for sending our military into war under-equipped.
Well, we certainly had warning signs about al-Qaeda. We had the 1993 World Trade Center bombing. We had the bombing of our embassies in Africa. We had the USS Cole bombing by al-Qaeda. We knew they were a threat, but I'll give President Bush credit. I remember when he spoke with the 9/11 Commission and he was asked about what did you know and could you have stopped it if you knew it beforehand, the attacks. And referring to Bill Clinton and himself, he said, we would have moved heaven and earth to stop this attack if either one of us knew about it. That's just the kind of person he was. He knows about the responsibilities as President of the United States, and so I thought it was a very gracious thing for him to say.
Well, Judge Alberto Gonzalez, his new book, right on the heels of the 15th anniversary of 9/11, True Faith and Allegiance, which will be linked on our website, available at all the usual places. Judge Gonzalez, thank you so much. It was an honor to have some time and to be able to talk about your new book.
I appreciate it. Thank you very much.
This is Dan Pilla. Do you owe the IRS money you can't pay? Are tax debts crippling you? I've defended people from the IRS for over 30 years. I've helped thousands, and I can help you too. I wrote the book on IRS settlement, and I'm telling you, there's no such thing as a hopeless case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX to finally get free of IRS debt. With the IRS's new programs, there's never been a better time to solve your problem. Call 800-34-NO-TAX. That's 800-34-NO-TAX or my website, danpilla.com.
ProPure Water Filters, making water great again. Taste and feel the difference with state-of-the-art filter technology. Pro 1 G2.0 and Pro Max filters are independent lab-tested to NSF standards. Choose from gravity, countertop, pitcher, shower, and inline filtration products. There's a ProPure for you. Buy risk-free today. Visit your authorized ProPure dealer for details or ProPureUSA.com. That's ProPureUSA.com.
In these uncertain times,